Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com.
If you've ever thought about starting a business or were in a business or maybe a partner or maybe you worked in a business, I think that when you think about the working parts of a business, there's probably a lot of things as you start that business you didn't know about. And then you stay with it. You've got the passion. You've got an idea. Where do you get the capital? I mean, that's a big question I think a lot of people ask. And then not only where do you get it, but how do you spend it wisely? What do you do with it? And then what about all those other questions about securities and insurance and the law? And then, you know, after all of that, you might want to think about, am I making a profit? Hey, welcome here from Montana for Montana. It is Voices of Montana, and we're just taking it live here from the AC Hotel, where in just a little while they're going to be conducting here the business summit, the Investing in Montana summit here, put on by the CSI office. That's the Commissioner of Securities and Insurance. And joining us as we get right into it here is James Brown. And I have to say it, James, I have to say, ow! How are you doing, sir? How do you feel?
Well, you know the answer to that one. I feel good, of course. I am James Brown.
I knew that you would, sir. Thank you for being here. And I've got a great lineup here. Let me talk about that here just a little bit, too. Stacey Bowers is going to join us a bit later on. You want to know about securities. She's with the SEC's office, but she's an advocate for small business capital formation. Ron Zook, chatting with him prior to the show with Swan Valley Medical. You'll learn an awful lot about his entrepreneurial experience, high-tech biomedical, but it's about raising capital. Paul Reichert is with us, executive director of Prospera, based here in Bozeman, and our first guest. So I say good morning, Paul. How are you, sir?
Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's great to join you today.
Thank you. This is your 40th anniversary this year.
Yeah, Prospera was founded 40 years ago and has seen this community grow and change over time. And I think our organization has tried to grow and change commensurate with the growth of the community.
Looking forward to chatting about that. Yeah. First, Jim Brown, talk about this summit. Talk about investing. Talk about trying to educate these entrepreneurs in Montana about how to be successful.
You bet. Well, thank you for the opportunity to be with you today, joining us here at the AC Hotels. You stayed in Bozeman, Montana. One of the interesting things about being state auditor, as we've discussed before, is that people have a sort of a confusion is about what our office actually does. I don't audit anything, as we discussed. One of the things that I do is try to help with capital formation in Montana and have folks come here to do business. And so the summit we're hosting, which is an annual event for the state auditor's office, is designed to empower Montana's business community by providing practical insights on capital raising strategies, securities laws, and the unique investment opportunities in our state. And so, as you stated, we're can have a full day of chat and questions and answers and talk about how we can grow Montana's business climate.
I was here last year, and I bragged about this summit. I mean, it's quick and to the point in a lot of ways, too. And I think that is a nod to how busy business people are and how many hats they wear. So there's still time to get here. We're at the AC Hotel, as you mentioned, at 11 o'clock, and a good lineup of folks here to talk about as well, including Paul Reichert, executive director of Prospera in Bozeman. Let's start, Paul, with the number one thing that people, because you've been doing this for a while, right? And you're in the job. Well, I like how you talk about, you know, building resilient communities as well. There's that whole consciousness about what a good company can be. What is your best piece of advice for people who come up and say, Paul, I got this idea. I know I can get some capital.
well, we serve probably about 1,000 business people a year that come in for free business counseling, business advising at Prospera. And I just want to sort of invite people that just want to talk about whatever they're facing in business to come in and just visit with us. Sometimes we know the information. Sometimes we can help them get access to a resource, or we connect them to someone who can really help them. So, like, a big part of our job is navigating and problem solving. And I think when we talk about business development, there's always a person behind it, right? So it's really about the people that we help and their particular challenge. So it's different every time, and it's very rewarding. And hopefully we can get people connected to somebody or something that can really help them move the needle. So that's a big part of what we do.
So we're broadcasting here from Gallatin County. As we both know, Gallatin County has seen extensive growth, both in terms of population and economic growth, here in Montana in the last 10 to 15 years. But when you're talking to folks, what are some of the biggest challenges local entrepreneurs face when accessing capital, and how does your business help them?
So Prospera manages local revolving loan funds. So that's our role, I guess, in the capital formation is loan financing that maybe businesses can't get in some other way. So one of our typical partnerships is with a local bank. Sometimes it's private individuals to help them get access to money that they otherwise can't get. And so it really just depends on when you think about traditional financing, there's particular parameters that say a financial institution really needs. We can often lend money in ways that they can't. And so we help people sort of overcome a barrier to get access to capital through local revolving loan funds. And we're only lending money to businesses that are based here in Southwest Montana. So we're not, you know, stretched trying to do things in other places. And we're really focused on folks that are here doing business here and need capital that can really help move the needle for them. So that's a niche, I guess, we serve. That's a little different than, say, other ways that people can get capital.
You're also, you know, you got deep roots here. MSU graduate as well. And I'm curious because, Jim, as you had noted, that there's challenges in terms of housing for your employees. So if there's a business out there, and a lot of businesses have taken it upon themselves to provide for that because that's a resource that they have to have. How much, when you're looking at capital, how much of that goes into those what might seem ancillary things versus running your business? I mean, how do you weigh all of those different needs out with the capital that you're going to wind up with?
I mean, generally, we're really helping the business. The community part, I mean, I think Prospera participates in some of those greater community conversations. But, you know, housing and workforce is absolutely a thing that everyone is talking about.
Yeah.
And there's no one quick solution. So I think it's just a community community conversation, and there's many, many players that are working on various ways to make those connections better. We've certainly seen people address wages and pay compensation so that people can afford to live here. So we've seen all of those things change over the last 5-6 years. And I suspect it'll sort of continue.
So you serve on the board of the Montana Economic Developers Association.
Good group. I like those
guys. It really is.
Yeah.
As a board on that board member of that organization, how do you see collaboration between Prospera and other economic development groups driving regional growth here in Southwest Montana?
Great question. Thank you. We do quite a bit with local chambers of commerce, so they're certainly like peers and colleagues in this work. So we have programs probably with 4 or 5 different chambers of commerce in the region, certainly local government organizations that can span either like a department or just directly with elected officials, and other nonprofits. So we've done work with some housing organizations, with some social organizations. We have peers in economic development at different city levels. So sometimes that's a formal collaboration. Sometimes it's just making sure that we're showing up for each other at events or when a business needs something. So Prospera is pretty engaged, and I'd say that's kind of how we do it locally, is making sure we have good collaborative partners throughout the region.
Go ahead, James.
Yeah, so you know, those of us that have lived in Montana now for a while, including yourself, know that Gallatin County, a lot of the growth here has come through the IT industry. But what other areas of growth are you seeing economically for Gallatin County specifically or Southwest Montana?
I mean, with population growth, it's been steady, right? It's been steady for probably if you look back 30 years, really, it's just been a steady climb in Southwest Montana. I'd say some of the bigger areas of growth are certainly the service industry is a big employer. I'm thinking sort of on the employment side, hospitality, healthcare, education. Those have been some of the really large drivers for job creation. But certainly in the technology arena, we're seeing the photonics industry is a major component here and growing steadily for high tech, and it's extremely diversified in terms of what that industry is working on. I shared a story the other day that was the, if anyone's familiar with the Sphere in Las Vegas, that really large structure there that needed the world's largest or most sophisticated LED camera to operate, and that camera was designed and built by a Bozeman company from someone who's from here. So it's just amazing the way some of the stuff that comes out of Southwest Montana touches the world, and that's just one sort of one example.
How do companies start right-sized?
I don't know if I know the answer to that question as much as I think people on that growth trajectory, that is a challenge. I don't know that I've talked to anyone, whether it's just a small local company to someone who's pretty sophisticated, to grow like well, to grow and pace things. I put that something we talk about with business owners quite often is how do they go from this size to that size? What's the right things to put in place when you're going from a five-person business to 10? All of a sudden you're 20, and then suddenly you find yourself at 40, and you're like, what do I need? How do I do that well? I think that's a challenge for anybody. And part of what Prospera does is connect people, right? We try to put them in the room with other peers that have gone through similar things. And Montana is really good at helping. I think people from Montana are willing and very open to helping each other. And we see that all the time. And that's really rewarding when you have a business owner saying, I've been there. Let's talk. I can probably help you get connected to somebody or something that might help you make that path a little easier for the next person.
Business owners have to be optimistic, I presume. What do you want to leave with this audience today in terms of their optimism for their ideas?
I think Prospera is a little too people should know that they can come and talk to us. Yeah, that good. There's no barrier. You know, our service is free and confidential. They can come in and kick around an idea. And do it in a safe space, and want people to know that they can do that. And businesses go through fits and starts, and sometimes everything's just going great, and they hit a little road bump, and they don't know who to turn to. Mm-hmm. And I just want them to know that Prospera is there. And we have peers around the state, right? It's not just here in Bozeman. There's we have peer organizations in probably 12, 15 different communities across the state, and they can get access to business counseling, business advising, at no cost, and just kick around ways that they can maybe help solve a problem for themselves.
1,000 clients, 40 years in business.
Yeah.
Congratulations on that too. Oh, you know,
thank you.
And pat everybody on the back there while you're at it. You know, and thank you for joining us here today too, Paul. It's ProsperaMT.org. You really should look into this. I like it where they say ideas and opportunities connect, and then your focus on community. You know, that's more and more important in the business world. Not that it ever wasn't important, but I think it's becoming more and more important too. So thank you for focusing on that.
Thank you for having me today.
Welcome back again. From Montana, for Montana, Voices of Montana. I like to call it 406, and we get out of the studio. We're live at the AC Hotel in beautiful Bozeman, Montana. Spent some time here myself. This is an annual event, the Investing in Montana Summit. It's put on by the State Auditor's Office, and we have James Brown co-hosting here today. James, I've been looking forward to this for quite some time. So, and you've still got a story to tell us here about a dignitary that you were toting around Western Montana. So I'm looking forward to that and talking about Vice President J.D. Vance. Let's talk about our dignitary to our right here, again, live from the Investing in Montana Summit. It's Ronald Zook. Ron Zook is president and CEO, co-founder of Swan Valley Medical, and that's based in Big Fork. And Ron, you're a Montana guy, grew up in the area as well. Good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you doing, sir?
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Is it fair to call you a serial entrepreneur? Is that like some kind of thing that you just couldn't shake?
Yeah, it's like a disease. No, I've started a number of companies, over six different companies that we took to successful exits. And so in the technology sector, mostly all were in the medical technology area.
I talked about some of your experiences as well, but have you, you've gone through a number of companies and started a number of companies.
Yes.
What's the secret there?
Having a good idea and a passion for the solution you're creating. That's why I focused on medical technologies. I started my career out as an aerospace engineer. Graduated from Montana State as a electrical engineer and RF engineering, and ended up designing offensive weapon control systems. And decided after about 10 years I wanted to do something different. And I saw a lot of technology that we had in the military that could be applied to saving people's lives and improving outcomes and things like that. So I focused from then on to more on the medical side for my follow-on activities over the years.
I'm going to apologize to my audience for your choice of education, but I'm just kidding. I had to get a dig in there
go
somewhere.
Cats.
Right? Yeah, there you go. Nice. That's a good fireback.
Well, that comment is made because everybody knows, listens to this show, Jim Brown is a grizzly, and I take a lot of guff for it. So with your extensive background in founding and leading technology-based companies, what is a piece of advice that you would give for a young Montanan? I mean, you stated you grew up in Montana. You know, what advice would you give to a young Montana entrepreneur looking to break into the high-tech industry and start a business?
Well, I think it starts with a passion, having a passion for what you're interested in and a goal to, you know, help others, I think, in what you're doing instead of just making money. I think money is not the real goal for getting into business by yourself because you could go broke fairly easily. And I think when you recognize that you're fulfilling a real need in the marketplace, you will be successful.
How do you know that you have passion for something like that? I mean, how deep a passion should you have? There's a lot of self-examination, I suppose, in starting a business, too.
Yeah, because I think, you know, when you're young and you're looking at the universe, there's all kinds of possibilities. I think looking at basically what are you really interested in as a person, and I think that could drive you and give you the motivation to pursue such a career. It's not easy starting a company. It's a lot of work. There's a lot of risk. Sometimes you have to put everything you have at risk. But if you have the passion, you'll get through it.
Yeah, so that's a really great point you made about risk, right? Anybody that's been successful in business at some point in their career had to take a risk, right?
Yes.
How in your experience, how did you balance that equation between taking risk and thinking you might lose it all?
Well, that was mostly my problem with my wife.
Well,
right. She was more conservative. But she supported me all along the way. We've been married for over 50 years.
Oh, congrats.
So she's part of this. And I think having a good supportive system is good when you're taking a risk. But again, you don't really think of it as a risk when you have a passion for something. You think you're doing something that you really want to do. And so I think that, you know, there's the aspects of the solution of what you're going to do, but also there's the grinding of the day-to-day and all of the stresses of raising money and dealing with employees and all of the other kinds of things. So it is, I think, having a good educational background to start with and gaining experience in working at other companies to get an idea of what works and what doesn't and what fits you and what doesn't. Just going out as a young person and being an entrepreneur without any kind of real world experience would be really difficult. I got my basic background in an aerospace company, which was unlike anything I've been done since then. But, you know, the discipline of designing products and technologies and working with people and interfacing with all the other disciplines it takes to build a product and sell a product and service a product and things like that.
Ron Zook is with us, President, CEO, co-founder of Swan Valley Medical Incorporated. That's based in Big Fork, headquarters in Denver as well, a mid-stage private medical device company. So you merge technology and medicine and entrepreneurship with the company here. Along with James Brown, we're here at the Investing in Montana Summit, the AC Hotel. Let me ask about, and go and spend some time on this, capital formation. How do businesses access capital? And then follow up, how do they spend it wisely initially?
Yeah, it's a great question because that's the number one issue and the hardest part of it all. I mean, you can have a great idea, but you've got to find somebody that can back it. And so I think understanding, you know, what the motivation is for other people to want to back something that you want to do, and so having some real value, research it. That's the biggest part of when you're starting a company is you've got to look at, you know, who's going to support this. You know, who are your customers? Who are your partners in this? Who's your competition? Things like that. So I think really is when you start looking at this as a new entrepreneur, again, what I think really drives this is the passion that you have behind it. If you really have the desire and belief, but again, I think, as you more mature, you can get better ideas of how to refine that instead of just flying off at every little possible thing you might want to think about. But, you know, I think it's everybody's individual outlook on how they want to approach this. And I would recommend everybody that wants to start a company, whatever, but work for somebody else, work in an organization and get a feel for how people interact and work together for a common goal. And the structure of that environment, you can learn a lot from that.
So one of the things that I often hear as the state auditor from persons looking to start a company in Montana, particularly in young Montana, is that they, as you stated, they have a hard time, you know, seeking out where to raise capital. One of the complaints is that, you know, I have to go out of state to try to raise capital and that sort of thing. Can you address that? I mean, there are folks in Montana to be interested in investing in startup companies?
Yeah, I think, you know, being a, you know, resident of Montana for a long time, I moved back here quite a few years ago permanently, is that the state has had a lack of capital. You know, being as a vice president of the Montana Bioscience Alliance, we're dealing with the infrastructure issues of the state. How do you encourage companies to want to be here? How do you facilitate their growth with not only facilities and equipment, et cetera, but the ecosystem, including the investment side. And we've seen a significant change in that available capital just in the last probably 5 years. You know, up in our area in the Flathead, we have Two Bear Capital, which is a recent entry into the state of a major investment fund. That has helped a lot. I know that a number of companies that are being developed out of the University of Montana and Missoula have received that funding there. So I think that, you know, the state is improving. It's not anywhere near a lot of other places. There's a lot of different ways to look at capital. And one of the things that I've done with this company that I currently have is we've raised all of our money from individuals. And so we have a lot of individuals that have contributed to a total of about $26 million. So I'm not sure if I know of anybody that's ever done that before.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I'd really recommend it either. But I think I wanted something where I didn't have interference with the management and where I wanted to take the company. So a long-term view of developing the company, creating a significant business with employment, a lot of employment, et cetera. So I think that's something that you can do, but it's very difficult and very time-consuming.
Ron, I know we could spend a lot more time with this. And so for people who want to, there's still room here. The Investing in Montana Summit is coming up. It's at the AC Hotel. Starts around 11 o'clock. President, CEO, and co-founder of Swan Valley Medical. Swan Valley Medical, it's a pleasure to know you, and I look forward to chatting with you down the road. And also, you know, you can teach me how to fly fish after all these years. I appreciate that.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Little 406 in on the road to the Investing in Montana Summit, AC Hotel. This summit gets underway at about 11 o'clock. They're going to have a number of speakers. We've had a couple of them on here, and welcome back from Montana for Montana. It's Voices of Montana. James Brown is alongside. He is the Commissioner of Securities and Insurance as well as the State Auditor. James, thanks for being here. Appreciate that. We want to talk about this summit a little bit. Entrepreneurs, investors, economic development leaders are here to share a lot of their advice. Some of that, you know, is strategies. Some of that is capital. Some of that is regulatory guidance. And some of that involves securities. And we're going to welcome our new guest and ask the question, James, that you get an awful lot. What are securities? Stacey Bowers is with us, U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. That's the SEC. And the director of the Office of the Advocate for Small Business Capital Formation. Good morning, Stacey. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. And sorry to all the listeners out there, but before I get started, I have to make a disclaimer. Any views I express today are my own and not the views of the commission or the commissioners.
Okay. Well, so get your lawyer off the phone, and we're going to ask some questions of Stacey right now. And thanks again. I appreciate that, and I know you have to do that. What I like is your title, the Advocate for Small Business Capital Formation. Talk about what your office does.
Sure. Thanks for asking. I think a lot of people don't even know this office exists at the SEC. So it came into existence in 2019. Congress created this particular office. We are independent within the Securities and Exchange Commission, and we are really there to be the voice and the advocate for small businesses and their investors. We don't regulate, we don't enforce, and we really go out and we try and bring those voices back to the commission and to Congress to try and help support the community.
So what does it mean to be independent from the commission? Can you talk about that?
It's a good one. I wrote that one down, too. What does that mean?
Sure. It probably doesn't mean as much as what all of you think, but one of the things it means for us is that on an annual basis, we put together an annual report. We're required to do it by our statute about the state of small business capital formation. I'm biased, obviously, but I think it's an amazing report. It's glossy. It's got lots of data, lots of graphs and charts. And one of the things that comes along with being an independent office is we put that report together without it being reviewed by anyone. So when that report is done, usually mid-December, we release it to the commission, the commissioners, and Congress all at the same time. And it shows a picture of what's happening with small business capital formation.
So part of the mission that we're trying to accomplish today with the conference is helping to connect Montanans to capital formation or access to capital and then navigating business growth and funding in Montana. So that sounds like essentially what your task is nationwide, correct?
It is true, yes. One of the things, we don't necessarily help founders find capital, but we try, and part of what we highlight in our report are the issues that they're running into when they're out there trying to access capital. Because I think, we heard it from your other guest, I mean, that's something that's a concern for every founder, is the ability of finding the capital they need to get their business up and running. So that's one of the things we hear. We bring that back to the commission. If you take a look at our annual report, it includes recommendations, and those recommendations are based on not just the data that we use to develop the report, but the voices that we hear from founders and investors. And so we'll make recommendations. The other thing I'll highlight, too, is affiliated with our office is a Small Business Advisory Committee, and they do some of the same things. They're a group of entrepreneurs and third parties who support that community. They meet quarterly. They also dive into small business capital formation issues, and they will make recommendations to the Commission and Congress as well about ways to help support the small business ecosystem.
And those are accessible. I mean, and people need to access them. Businesses are driven best by data. So, how does the public engage with your office?
Sure, that's a great question. So, if you go to sec.gov, I like to say, don't be afraid to click on the site. No one's tracking you. But if you go to sec.gov, in the upper right-hand corner, there's a link that says Small Businesses. And if you click on that from any SEC.gov page, that will take you to a wealth of educational resources that our office and other offices in the Commission have designed to help support founders and funders. And then as far as if you want to access our annual report, if you hop over to our homepage, which is sec.gov/OASB, there's a link to our annual report, and it It's a PDF file. It takes a little bit of time to load, but it comes up in its glossy format. It's easy to look through and look at the data. And then otherwise, you can always email us at smallbusiness@sec.gov. We like to hear voices. And the other way we hear voices is we go out and do events like this and incredible summits like this.
Well, Tom was giving you a little bit of a hard time about calling your attorney back there in Washington, D.C., but you are an attorney.
I am.
Correct? Yeah. So part of your background is that you did work in private practice and you were an in-house securities counsel for two public companies, correct?
I was.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. I love being a lawyer. So I will say I don't get to practice day to day in this job. But it was amazing. I think one of the things I liked most, helping two companies go public, there's nothing more fun than going through the initial public offering process. But probably more near and dear to my heart are all the small companies that I helped raise maybe $1 million, maybe $5 million to get their businesses up and running, and then to be able to continue to work with them and see them as they progress and become more and more successful. So an IPO is great, but I think sometimes those small businesses and the relationships as a lawyer that you build with those clients is pretty amazing.
So given your background both in the private sector and now working with the SEC, can you give us an idea how the regulatory environment for small business capital formation is evolving?
Sure. I think one of the things that we're seeing right now, and I don't expect everyone's paying attention to this. We do it because it's part of our role in our in my office. There's a lot of small business capital formation coming out of the House Financial Services Committee out of Congress. And so I think last count, there were 40-plus bills that had been proposed from the House Financial Services Committee, both from the majority and the minority, all meant to try and help support small businesses and open up the ability for those businesses to raise capital. So I think that's one of the shifts that we're seeing as well, where I think we're seeing more focus, a little bit more focus on the small business community. We haven't seen anything come out of the Senate yet, but I anticipate we'll see some proposed legislation come out of the Senate in the fall. And then I think in general, I don't get to pay attention as much as what's going on at the state levels, but I suspect we're seeing similar things happening at the state levels as well, supporting small businesses. I think it's the one thing we all agree on. It's really important to support small businesses.
Stacey Bowers with us, U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, Director of the Office of Advocate for Small Business Capital Formation. And you've got a broad background. You were teaching law not that long ago in Denver as well. And so thanks for sharing some of that expertise here. I've got a question that regards some of these regulations in compliance. People who are floating some ideas around about a business, especially at the initial stage, they might be scared. They might be worried about some of these things. What should they know? What should they be concerned about?
Sure. I mean, this is one of the issues we hear all the time from small business founders. The securities laws, they're really complex. And a lot of people don't even realize, hey, I sold an interest in my company to my friends and family. That's not a security, is it? And actually, it probably is the sale of a security. Mm. We bump up against that all the time. So one of the things we like to say as our office, we're not there to be your lawyer or give legal advice. The best thing you can do is find a good lawyer. But what we have done is try to create a lot of educational resources to help founders wrap their minds around this complex area that they're diving into. We have a series, we call them Building Blocks, and they're on discrete issues about capital raising. So founders can go in there and they can look at a building block. It's kind of a one-pager. What does it mean to be an accredited investor? How do I know if somebody's accredited? The other thing that our office has done is we've put together a glossary. We call it the cutting through the legal jargon of capital raising. So we've tried to take all of that capital raising terminology and put it into more everyday language for small business founders and the investors that are coming into those companies to just help them understand. So our goal is really give them some knowledge so that when they start talking to their lawyers and accountants, they have some background and they know what's going on.
I'm going to steal this next question here and ask both of you guys, how do you work together? James Brown, Commissioner of Securities and Insurance, and Stacey with the SEC office. So both of you, and Jim, maybe you can talk about how do you work with the SEC to protect consumers in Montana?
You bet. Well, it is a federal-state partnership for sure, yeah, because of the nature of what we're dealing with here, right? Which is financial instruments, raising capital across state lines, et cetera, et cetera. So
We at the state are obviously tasked with the consumer protection piece for Montanans. Part of that, of course, is education of Montanans, how to protect themselves, you know.
Which is why this conference is here.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And then we work with the SEC pretty closely. And this, I am a member of a group called NASA, not the ones that fire the rockets into space.
You could be, though.
I could, yeah. But it's the National Association of Securities Commissioners, and it's the 50 state commissioners that regulate securities, and we participate in conferences, meet with the SEC regularly to talk about these type issues.
Yeah, go ahead, Stacey, and expound upon that, the importance, the value of that state and federal relationship.
Oh, no, it's definitely very important. I mean, we have the Securities and Exchange Commission, which is regulating at the federal level, but we also have the state securities commissions that step in and regulate at the state level, and so there's definitely a lot of cross-pollination and working together. And I'll also point out the Small Business Advisory Committee that I mentioned. We have a NASA member that sits on that committee, and so they bring their voice into the room there as well to make sure we're paying attention to the concerns at the state level.
I think it's very important. We got to wrap it up here because I want to save a little time to talk with Jim about something here too. But that this is an advocate for small business capital formation. It's a relatively new organization, but you're very open. It sounds like you're very open and very accessible to the public again. So I just wanted to reiterate that. Don't be afraid, like you said, right?
Yeah. Yeah, don't be afraid. Please reach out to us. Check out our resources, our website. Send us an email. We're really there to be a voice and to help.
We look forward to hearing from you on the panel today, too. Thank you, Stacey.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we'll take a short break and come on back. That's Stacey Bowers, U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. I like this office of the Advocate for Small Business Capital Formation and directs that office. Wrapping up here for the day, we'll be hanging out, though, and catching a lot of more of this information here at the Investing in Montana Summit. Different options for raising capital. They've got the lunch welcome and keynote by Brianna Daniels here and Commissioner James Brown a part of that to my right here as well. Investing in people in place. You've got securities laws and capital formation, small business and startup experience panel. I'm really high on this Investing in Montana Summit, James. And so I appreciate you, letting us be a part of it here as well. I want to have you get some final thoughts on this, but there was a recent little news breaking about some activities that you had in southwestern Montana, your home, by the way, in Dillon, and still a home for you there, lifelong. With J.D. Vance, our vice president.
Yeah, I had the experience of a lifetime.
I bet.
Yesterday. In fact, in the last week, many of you may have heard by now, I had the opportunity to spend some time with the vice president yesterday when he came to Montana. He came, flew into Butte and drove down to Dillon and had an event down there. And I got to be part of the advance work for that event. They reached out to me because I'm a native of Beaverhead County, of course, and so I knew the area and elected officials, so no security risk or low security risk,
right.
Maybe. And then I got to be part of the team that picked up he and his people right there on the Burt Mooney Airport runway and got to drive some of his staff down to Dillon, and it was an amazing experience. I didn't get a whole lot of time with him. He didn't come to see me, I can assure you. But I got to spend some time with him right at the end of his trip as he was boarding Air Force Two, and got to get a picture with him. And it was an amazing experience, once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Yeah, yeah. You didn't have a lot of time with him. What's he like?
Well, he's taller than
is that. Right?
That was my first time. He's a big man. Honestly, I can't really catch that on TV. He was very, very cordial, very gracious. Most of the conversation I had with him was he thanked me for the work that I did with his advance team and getting things helped set up, and my work as a public servant like him, and of course. I thanked him for coming to Montana and spending some time in the best county in Montana, Beaverhead County. And it was just a wonderful experience. But I got to spend a lot of time with his team more than I did with him. And the work and logistics involved with moving a vice president around is just incredible. My kudos to the work that they put in and then law enforcement and their role.
We got a minute here. You got some kudos to share about this this investment summit as well. Talk about it.
Yeah. So, Stacey mentioned the House Financial Services Committee. My predecessor, Troy Downing, as you know, was elected to Congress, and he actually serves on the House Financial Services Committee. And he brings a great experience to that committee, and not the least of which, of course, is he was the host of these capital summits and investing in Montana summits before me. And then I'm very excited about Bree Daniels being our keynote speaker. So come on down to the AC Hotel in Bozeman.
And I appreciate that. Like I said, as we were talking about it, I was bragging this up because there's a lot of super good information here. And it's a very affordable summit as well and very accessible to the public. So that's James Brown. Good to chat with you, Jim.
Thank you.
I always appreciate the work that you do as well. So on behalf of all of us, thank you for being a public servant, too.
You bet. Happy to be on.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.